Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 23. Matthew, chapter 23. We'll read verses 24 through 29 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 23, verses 24 through 29. Matthew 23, verses 24 through 29. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so are you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you this morning in Sunday school that your presence and your power was here. Lord, this morning already here in our main church service, it's obvious that you want to do a work. Now, Father, please fill our preacher, our man of God. Lord, there's no way one human could meet the needs of the thousand or so people on this property. But you sure could through him. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Calm our hearts. May we focus our minds on the preaching of the Word of God, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
My sermon this morning, if you're not careful, you will take the time to use it to examine others. I should start then by saying to you, you ought to use it to examine you. I do not intend to preach this sermon to give you Pharisees artillery to shoot at somebody else. You've got your hands full with yourself. The Bible says, "Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law." In this passage of Scripture, we see Paul standing before a group called the Sanhedrin. Paul is speaking to the men in this council called the Council of the Sanhedrin. Paul testifies to these people. If you read Acts 23 thoroughly, you'll find that he is testifying, and he is saying, "I'm a real and sincere Christian." Paul says to them, "My conscience is clear before God." Now, was Paul saying that he was perfect? No, Paul wasn't saying that he was perfect. Paul was saying that he was real. Paul was saying, I am serving God to the best of my ability. I'm not a phony. I'm not a fake. You won't see me behaving one way, through the week and another way down at the church. I'm really trying to serve God sincerely. My conscience is clear toward God. I'm not perfect, Paul was saying, but I'm striving to do and live what I've been trained to do. That's his testimony to this council called the Sanhedrin. The high priest's name was Ananias, and he told those standing near Paul, they said, "Hit that guy in the mouth." Now picture it. Here's the Apostle Paul, other than Jesus Christ, the greatest Christian in the New Testament, testifying before this council called the Sanhedrin. All he said was, I'm trying to be a real Christian. I'm not a phony. And it made Ananias, the high priest, mad, and he said, "Hit that guy in the mouth." Evidently, something bothered him. All Paul said was, "I'm real." Got all over this guy's case, evidently, and they did. They hit Paul. Somebody reared back, one of the men reared back, and the Bible says that man hit Paul right in the mouth. Then Paul, with blood trickling down his face, said to the high priest, "Well, God's probably going to hit you." I'm glad Paul had some backbone. Paul then compares the high priest to a white wall. A whited wall. Why? Paul was saying this to that high priest. You're painted white on the outside, so you look clean and look good and you seem pure, but on the inside, you're a dirty man. Now we know what must have bothered that high priest when Paul said, I'm a real Christian. This guy says, somebody hit him in the mouth. Paul said, well, let me tell you why he wanted me hit in the mouth. Because he makes himself look good on the outside, but on the inside, he's a dirty man. Let's listen to another passage of Scripture that refers to the same type of a comparison. Matthew 23:25, it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Said, you make things look clean on the outside, but within you're full of dirty things. Well, that's exactly what Paul said to this high priest that made this high priest mad enough to say to somebody, hit that guy in the mouth. I don't want somebody around here talking like that. There's another passage of Scripture, if I may read it. It's in Matthew 23 as well. A couple of verses later, we read verse number 25. Now we go to verse number 27 of Matthew 23, where it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Now we see again the words whited. This is a whited sepulchre. You look beautiful on the outside, but it says within you are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Now what's being said here, he's comparing it to like a mausoleum place. Said that mausoleum looks beautiful on the outside, and you've got that little spot where dead people are buried, and it's clean and spiffy and sharp and decorated, but what's inside it are a bunch of dead men's bones. And here is a comparison being made to a human being that they've cleaned themselves up on the outside, and they're like a whited sepulcher, looking good on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. Now, what happened with dead men's bones? They stink.
Yes, sir.
They're rotten. They're nasty. At one point, there could be bugs and maggots. God's saying, you look pretty good on the outside, but I know what you got going on the inside. Look at those comparisons in these three different stories. That comparison of the high priest where Paul said, you're a whited wall. He said that. He said, you're a whited wall. All you are is white and clean on the outside, but not on the inside. Then it said this, and so you understand these comparisons, whited sepulchres, saying it to Ananias, the high priest, and then to the scribes, and then to the Pharisees. He said, you're whited on the outside, you're dirty and deteriorating on the inside. That comparison there is virtually a definition of a word that you have heard. As Brother Bush was helping us to read the Scripture, as I have read Scripture to you this morning, there was a word that we heard over and over again, and that is the word hypocrite. Hypocrite. You heard it over and over again. I'm very cautious in using that word. You don't hear me use it a lot because I think it's a dangerous word. You need to know what that word means. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm going to show you what it means to be a hypocrite. Wake up and pay attention. Some of you have stayed up and watched TV all night. It's time to wake up and pay attention to the preaching of the Word of God. Some of you that are backslidden and in a terrible condition, maybe if you look down here, look right at the preacher while he's preaching, keep your eyes open, you wouldn't have such a bad attitude toward the things of God. Especially this morning while we're going to preach on hypocrites. The Bible, if you defined the word hypocrite, if you looked at it, if you looked at it through God's spiritual magnifying glass and you use God's spiritual dictionary, the word hypocrite actually means something that is whited on the outside but is deteriorating on the inside. A lost person could be a hypocrite. A saved person could be a hypocrite. But that word hypocrite means there's something inside that is rotting away, but somehow it has been beautifully coated on the outside. Let me show you what I mean. I have a board here. Choir, you'll only get to see the back part of it, but this is a piece of wood. I also have with me this morning, I have some paint and a paintbrush, and they're going to help me. And get this out because I'm sure to make a mess on myself. And I need to open up my can of paint. This is white paint because that's what the scripture used in its illustration. Now, I have a can of white paint. I have here, of course, a board. There's a little bit of white paint on the front of that board. I have a paintbrush. I think I'm going to bring this thing down here, and you forgive me. I'm going to need to get it to where I can get to it. The Bible says that, now, so you all know, though you might not be able to see it from where you're at, from where I'm at, it is very clear to me that this is rotted wood. Can you tell? It's rotted. It's nasty. But you know, Paul said to Ananias, he said, you've done something to yourself, sir. You make yourself look pretty good on the outside. Paul said, you're like a whited wall. In other words, now I'm putting the paint on. You know what? That takes that nasty old wood and makes it look a little better. If I took the time, I could paint this whole piece of wood, and we'll work on it off and on during the sermon. You know, as I put that paint on there, it just seems to look real, real good. Put a little up here. Yeah, all right. We're going to keep painting our old nasty rotted wood. Now, Paul said to Ananias, he said, you're like a whited wall. They said, you're like a whited sepulcher filled with dead men's bones. You look pretty good on the outside, but inside, you're rotten. You know something? No matter how much I paint that rotted wood, it's still nasty. That is the case of some people in this auditorium right now. I paint it. It gives a good impression. It looks clean, but it's not. It looks, you know, you take a look at that part that's painted right there, you might get the impression that it is strong. It looks strong, but it's not. It looks like, you know, possibly if this didn't have all the jagged edges, if it were all squared off like a new piece of board, we might even say to ourselves, that thing looks clean. It looks usable. But this is not real usable. It's not clean. It's not strong. You might even get the idea, boy, I could grab that piece of board right there, and that board right there could be helpful. Not as helpful as what you think. I wouldn't depend on it a whole bunch. You say, but look at that. That's whited. I mean, that looks, boy. There you go, choir. Put a little on there so you get on. You can paint over that rotten part, but it's rotten. Right. Is that you? Hey, Christian, do you keep the outside looking like an obedient, dedicated, loyal church member? But really, in your heart, you're rotten.
Good.
You're not real. That's what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is somebody that's making the outside look as if it is complying, but on the inside it's not. Now, let me warn you, those of you that live what you live because the Bible says so and you're complying because it's a command of God, you'll last and you'll stay strong. But those of you that comply for whatever reason other than the Bible says so, And then you'll change and you'll go comply to something else and then go into the world and comply to the world's way of living. I'm not talking about people who are trying hard and they're sincere and they fail some. You know something? That's a part of growth. All of us have to grow. You say, Brother Owens, you know, I come to church and I learn something and I go home and I'm trying to live it. But through the week, you know, you told me how to stop this and the Bible says so. And I tried and I didn't quite get it done. You're not a hypocrite. You're growing. You're not a hypocrite. It's not a hypocrite when somebody's growing and they're sincerely trying and they get up and they try again. That's not hypocrisy. That is growth in the Christian life. I'm talking about the ones who don't want to do right. I'm talking about the ones who work at making us believe you want to do right, but on the inside you don't want to do right. I'm talking about the ones, hey, there have been time in your life when you've conquered the sins of your life. You're now going backwards. You've got the outside of you painted spiffy white. You want to convince us all that you mean it and you're sincere, but on the inside, hey, you're already so backslid in your heart, it's pathetic, and you're just putting up a front most of what you do. Whited sepulchres filled with dead men's bones. Well, you got the outside of the board, and it's all painted up white. And we all look at that, and there are people that respect you, and there are people say, boy, look at her, and boy, look at him, and you kind of even like it. But the truth is, you're like rotten wood on the inside. And I believe once a person gets saved, they're always saved. The Bible very clearly teaches that. But I can tell you this, once a person's saved, that doesn't mean they'll always behave spiritually. And again, let me remind all of us that when we use this illustration, we're not talking about somebody that is growing in the Lord. We're not talking about somebody that is striving to conquer things in their life. No, God knows that you and I have to grow. God knows that we have to learn and do better and it will stumble some. We're talking about people that know better, that don't want to do right. We're talking about those that have rebellion on the inside, but they're making themselves look nice, clean, and white on the outside. We're talking about the ones that did right, but they're now heading away from doing right. They're looking for an escape plan. They're trying to figure out a way to go do what they want. It's not what God wants. They want to go do what they want, but they want to look good while they do it. That's what the word hypocrite in the Bible means. A hypocrite is somebody that's painted white on the outside, but on the inside, there's deterioration. And deterioration means once it was strong and now it has chosen not to be strong anymore. Are you a hypocrite? Now, you ought to remember, you ought to use this word very, very cautiously. And if I were you, I'd use it to examine you. You're sitting there saying, well, I know where there's a hypocrite. Maybe you ought to just see if you're a hypocrite. Now, I went through the Bible and I studied the times that the word hypocrite are used. I've looked at every one of them. Every time any form of the word hypocrite is used. I want you to stay with me this morning as I help us to learn a little bit. I call the sermon this morning, Rotten Wood, Painted White. Just paint that wood white, make it look good. Oh, you have a church like ours where we believe in living separate from the world and come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And we have standards and we have convictions. If you're not careful, though, you get a bunch of people that look good on the outside, but they're rotten on the inside. You're not a real help. Matter of fact, you'll hurt a church like this because those standards and convictions are real. And God really wants us to live them. And those of you that are phony and fake about it, you're really hurting our church. Rotten wood. Painted white. Stay with me, if you will, please. Let me say, first of all, rotten wood painted white should not be used in a way that others depend on it and lean on it. In other words, hypocrites are not supposed to be chosen as leaders. Listen to this verse. Job 34:30 says that the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared. You know what it's saying? If saying there uses the word reign not associated with the hypocrite. Last thing in the world you need is someone in a leadership position that's teaching one thing on Sunday and living something else on Monday. You just goof the people up that you were influencing. I can't tell you how many times a hypocrite in leadership have soiled other people's opinion of the truth. Here it says that the hypocrite reign not. Leaders are to be clean inside and out. Now some people say, well, I don't think it matters on the outside. The Bible thinks it matters on the outside. It matters inside and out. Leaders, listen, we that have an opportunity to lead in the church, we have the opportunity to lead, and others depend on us. Others follow our example. And I said to you, rotten wood painted white should not be used for others to lean upon it. This isn't a good example of what Christian leadership is. Painted white on the outside and rotten on the inside. That's not what real Christian leadership is. Rotten within. The Bible tells us here that the hypocrite reign not lest the people be ensnared. What's it mean? Those of you that you've whited yourself up on the outside, but on the inside, your heart's not really dedicated to it. You're not really real. You're putting up a facade. All the people that you are influencing as a leader like that, when they catch you, when they figure it out, when you fall, when you put your tail between your legs and run, you have ensnared those followers into a confusion because they love and respected you. And now they doubt the truth because of you. If you're a leader at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, you were picked as a leader because we believe that you were real. And that you were not a fake. Watch out now. Rotted wood painted white is hard to depend upon. It's not good. It's not a good example of what Christian leadership is. Oh, we didn't pick you as a leader in the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church because we thought you were perfect. We thought you would strive for perfection, but we did believe that you would not be living a double life and stab us in the back. Did you know everybody can deal with us stumbling and doing things from time to time that we should not do, but it's the fakes and the phonies that are doing it, enjoying it, and hiding it, and wanting to live that way? Those are the ones that disgust us all. Is this too revealing for you? Let me go on. Secondly, rotted wood painted white draws attention to itself in the wrong ways. I said rotted wood painted white draws attention to itself in the wrong ways. Hypocrites draw public attention to their spiritual service, which really ought to be done humbly, but they've got to draw attention to their service because they don't want attention drawn to what's going on behind their service. Matthew 6:5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." Here, God is talking about a hypocrite. They want to pray and be seen. Why? Well, if they can pray and be seen in public, it might help with their facade about what they're doing in private. That prayer is virtually a little part of the outer coating of paint. I have people that, you'll hear people say, "Well, I'll be praying about that." Oh, malarkey. People tell you they're going to pray about it. No, they're just waiting for their chance to do what they want to do. But they'll throw prayer into this thing. The Bible says in Matthew 6:18, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their face, that they may appear unto men to fast." You know what it's talking about? Here's somebody that's fasting, but they want everybody to know that they're fasting. Now, you understand that when you fast, it's a private thing between you and the Lord, and really nobody's supposed to know about it. I wonder, are you doing it for the Lord, or are you doing it to get public attention?
That's good.
See, what we do, we'll put up a front, And we want to let everybody know what we're doing spiritually. Why? We've got to have it. You say, what for? It's the white paint. I got to paint over the rotten wood. I better be telling you the good things that I'm doing, because I don't want you to see past it. I don't want you to see what I really am. I don't want you to see what's going on behind the scenes. I better tell you the good that I'm doing before you discover the phoniness and what's going on behind the white paint. You point out to others your spiritual practices and your spiritual position. Why? But I thought we were all just to serve the Lord very, very humbly. I'm in the choir. Yes, but are you a whited piece of rotten wood? Being in the choir doesn't make you spiritual. Doesn't make you spiritual. But I'm a member of a fundamental Baptist church choir. And you could be whited on the outside and rotten on the inside. And as a choir member, you ought to be striving to be a good example to the people that stare at you every Sunday morning and Sunday night and watch your life.
Good.
See, I'm a bus captain. I'm glad that you are. Thank God for you. But you better be careful that you don't think because you go out and you're productive in bringing people in that that makes you spiritual. You could look awful white and clean on the outside and be filled with true stinginess and who knows what on the inside.
Yes, sir.
See, I'm a deacon. I'm glad that you are. But a deacon could say, well, I'm a deacon of a New Testament Baptist church. That ought to be something that you could hold your head high about, but I wouldn't hold it too high. Your being a deacon does not make you spiritual. You could be white on the outside and rotting on the inside.
Yes, sir.
See, I'm a longtime tither of the church. I'm glad that you are. But I'll tell you something, there are all sorts of people that could give themselves to the church and give their money to the Lord, and they could even let everybody know, I've been tithing here a long, long time, I'm glad. What are you though? What are you really? You can't use the pages of the checks that you have written to plaster them like wallpaper to make you look good on the outside when you're not doing right on the inside. See, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Well, I'm glad of that, and I want you to be. I think we have like 79 Sunday school teachers and 79 assistant Sunday school teachers. You say, well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Being a Sunday school teacher does not make you spiritual. You can throw that out there if you want, but it tends, if there is not something real on the inside, it tends to be the white paint on the outside. I'll doctor myself up. I'll flaunt what I do for God around. I want to get it all painted up. I want to look good and white. Well, I may not be able to tell on the outside, and we might not be able to tell about each other on the outside because it's painted white. But I'll tell you somebody that's got X-ray vision, and God knows if you are whited on the outside and you're rotten on the inside. It's called being a hypocrite. You say, I'm an usher, I'm a greeter. Good. You point out your white paint. That's exactly what the Bible's talking about here in Matthew 6:5 and Matthew 6:16. You have people that are praying, people that are fasting, people that are giving, and they're pointing it out to everybody. They're trying to point at the white paint. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I can't be all that bad. And they're doing it as a facade to get people's attention off the real them. I said, number one, rotten wood painted white should not be used in a way that others lean upon it. What are we talking about? You take a piece of rotten wood like that and somebody leans on it, they were going to depend on it. That's what leaders are to be depended upon. That thing will crumble.
Yes, sir.
We as leaders ought to, though we might not be perfect on the inside, God knows we shouldn't be playing a game. We should be real. Secondly, rotten wood painted white draws attention to itself in the wrong ways. Number three, rotten wood painted white experiences short-lived enjoyment. Short-lived enjoyment. Let me give you a verse. Job 20 verse 5 says that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Hypocrites and their enjoyment of their hypocrisy and that they get out of it, it's a pretty short-lived enjoyment. Your outward pain is only going to last so long. You better just keep on slapping the old coats on there. You better get her good and thick. Because what's on the inside eventually can rot its way through.
Yes, sir.
Get to the point where there's only paint and everything on the inside is gone. Your outward paint won't hold up forever. So whatever it is you get joy out of, you better enjoy it now, because that joy, whatever that phoniness is, won't last, and the joy of it won't last for long. See, living a double life lets you enjoy the benefits of both for a while. But let me tell you, the benefit of the negative and the benefit of the sin and the benefit of that to which you are going back to, that joy will be very short-lived, because the devil's just using it to pull you away from God anyhow. Anybody here, anybody been around long enough and be honest enough in your heart to know? Remember when you got some things straightened out with God and you got it all taken care of and you said, I'm not going to do it anymore, and somehow you got a little backslid and the devil pulled you back into it for a little while. You got back and you said, oh, I can't believe he got me back to this mess. It's as stinking and rotten as it was back before I got myself cleaned up with God. You see, it's short-lived, the Bible says. Hey, what is it that you're willing to sacrifice your testimony for? You know, the Bible says in Job 8:13, the hypocrite's hope shall perish. What is it, hypocrite? You used to be right with God about it. Now you got yourself painted up white so everybody thinks that you're right, but you are not right. You're sneaking around. You're living a double life. You're not what you say that you are. You have everybody believing that's what you are. Hey, what is it that you're looking to the other side and you're saying, I want that. That's not right, but I want that. I'm going to go get that. Hey, what is it? The Bible says the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Whatever it is you think you're really going to get your jollies out of, whatever it is you think you're really going to get out of that, when you go back to the bottle, may I say to you, it's as bad and as nasty as it ever has been. And you might enjoy getting drunk one night, but you'll wake up the next day and you'll say, I can't believe I'm back at this. Whatever it is that's in the world that has such a big deal to you, I'll make you a promise right now, it's not going to pay off. We're not talking about people growing in the Lord now. We're talking about people that were once there who are consciously and on purpose stepping away, moving away. They painted a facade. They don't want anybody to know what they really are. What is it you're willing to sacrifice your testimony for? I'm making you a promise. It won't pay off. One day you'll look at it and say, I should have never given in. I should have never gone backwards. I should have never gone back. That sin that you cover up right now, that wrong that you rest your entire testimony, that sin will eventually betray you. It's promising you all sorts of things. Freedom. Popularity. It's promising you everything under the sun. Just so you know, your sin is a liar. Your sin is about to take you to the cleaner. Matter of fact, your sin has you convinced that lying to God, God's people, the church, and everything else is the best idea. Paint her white and live on, baby. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a short season. You say, why a short season? Just long enough to get you out of the will of God. Then the pleasure ends. The sermon is called Rotten Wood Painted White. It's not to be depended upon. In other words, leaders are not supposed to be rotten wood painted white. Secondly, rotten wood painted white draws attention to itself, but in the wrong way. It is virtually pointing out the spiritual activity in the life, but it's not spiritual on the inside. It's rotten on the inside. Rotten wood painted white experiences a very short-lived joy when they start to sell out for the wrong things. Let me give you another. Rotten wood painted white is destructive to its setting. Rotten wood painted white is destructive to its surroundings and to its setting. Did you know the Bible says that hypocrites destroy their neighbors? Proverbs 11, verse 4 says, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor." Rotten wood around other wood affects the other wood. You get a piece of nasty, old, wet, rotting wood, you butt it right up against another piece of decent wood. The good wood does not make the bad wood better. The bad wood rots the good wood. There's somebody in here. You started out in your little clique of people and you started getting backslidden. You became a piece of rotten wood. And you know what you've done? You're pulling down your husband. You're pulling down your wife. You're now pulling down your friends. You're pulling somebody else down. What happened? You became a piece of rotten wood. And that rotten wood was associated with some good wood. And you are now rotting the wood in the church. But we can just keep painting, baby. Paint her up. Make it look good. Rotten wood. Rotten on the inside. Rotten wood painted white is destructive to its setting. It's destructive to its surroundings. Rotten wood around other wood affects the other wood. If this was a piece of a wood section of a piece of fence, someone would lose confidence in the entire fence. You're about to buy a house. You walked over to a slat of wood. What would it be called? A picket in a piece of fence. You walked over to it and you grabbed a hold of one part of that picket fence and it was rotten wood like this. You're liable to walk away and say, you know what? That whole fence is rotten fence. Now, does the whole fence have to be rotten because one piece was? No. But the average take is, the average opinion is, if you got one piece that's rotten, you probably have others that are rotten. Do you understand that when you know better, and you're doing wrong, and you choose to do wrong, and you're trying to give everybody the impression you're right on the outside, but you're wrong on the inside, and now you begin to influence other people, somebody's going to get the idea the whole church's fence is rotten.
Right.
It's not. You're here today and you say, Brother Owens, I know somebody that's a hypocrite in our church. Well, let me tell you something. The whole fence is not rotten. I may have a rotten piece or two, and God helping me, we'll smoke them out of the wood pile on a day like today and tell them to get themselves right with God. You're hurting the whole picket fence. You're destroying somebody near you and somebody that looks up to you and somebody that admires you and respects you. Say, well, I just don't feel like. Maybe you ought to stop doing what you feel like and start doing what is right. When was Christianity all supposed to be about how you feel? If you're a hypocrite, you're probably destroying your neighbor's belief in your church. But haven't we heard this all of our lives? I'm not going to go down there to that church. I know somebody goes to it. I know how they live. Now, you've got to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one. That's my opinion. But it affects us, doesn't it? I'm not for hypocrisy. I'm for people growing. And this church knows if you stumble and you fall, we'll help you get back up. But my, oh my, oh my, folks. Don't be walking around with a paintbrush all the time. This is, what is that, a pint? Half a pint? I got a half a pint of paint up here. Some of you, we need to strap a gallon jug or gallon tank. We need to get a sprayer with a 50-gallon drum for you. The Bible says, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor." Why? Painted white on the outside, rotten on the inside. Your neighbor knows, don't they? They know what you're up to. Pretty hard when somebody lives right by you. I mean, I'm talking about your virtual next-door neighbor. There's some of your next door neighbors. You used to be dedicated, sold out for God. Thought that the church and everything was just the most fantastic thing on the face of the earth. You're still backslidden now. You're just hoping your neighbor doesn't see. And some of you have already accepted the fact you used to try to get your neighbor into church all the time. It won't be long. You'll be partying with them. Who influenced who?
Right. Yes, sir.
I'm talking about some of you and your family.
Good.
Your family's learning. You are white on the outside, rotten on the inside. Some of you parents better watch. You might have some kids, some teenagers that have got themselves whited in your opinion on the outside. You might not know what's going on the inside. I can remember times when I had my parents fooled. Any of you ever fool your parents?
But your child would never do that, would they? Got you fooled.
Painted white on the outside. On the inside, they're hypocrites. Some of you are going to destroy your workmates. Why? They know you go to church. They know what you believe. And you're whited on the outside, but you're rotting on the inside. And your workmates are beginning to catch on what's going on.
Yes, sir.
Some of you destroy your spouse. Your kids. And you're going to make people not trust the rest of the fence. People will judge our church on you. And not all the wood around here is rotted. There's some godly, sincere Christians around here. None of us are perfect, but there are some sincere people around here. Sure, there are people that will stumble. Sure, there are people that won't do the right thing every single time. But they're not living a lie.
Good.
They'll come to the altar and get it right.
Yeah.
Whited, but rotting. Not only that, may I say this. Rotted wood painted white is blind to its own weaknesses, according to the Bible.
Right.
Rotten wood painted white looks strong, but it's not. And rotted wood painted white sometimes will give itself the impression it's strong, but it's not. Hypocrites have poor judgment about the real spiritual issues of life. Matthew 23:23 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. These ought you to have done, and ought to leave the others undone." In other words, you're not seeing things right. You see big things as little things, and little things as big things. There's something wrong. If you are a whited piece of rotten wood, you are blind to reality. You know that this white stuff makes it hard for us to see that thing for what it really is? Not only is it hard to see in, it's hard to see out. And you have painted the outside of you, and you've virtually coated your eyes to the point where you don't see things right. You come to church and I can preach a sermon like this, and you think I'm being hateful. I'm helping you. You look all the way through the Bible. It's bad news when you're to the point where you're just a flat out hypocrite. Now God will let you grow, but God said, "I am not going to tolerate you living a double life and hurting the church." Matthew 23:24 says, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." You're not seeing things right. Your spiritual perception is out of whack. Your hypocrisy has caused spiritual cataracts. You want the world, but know it's wrong, so you live in it, but give the impression at church that you're right with God. You could once see clearly your own sin, but now your sin is not so bad. You have spiritual glaucoma. Righteous living in the past was clear and clearly the thing for you. Now you're rethinking it and your spiritual blindness has set in and it doesn't really matter to you. You're blind and you'll probably lead somebody else away as well. It is time for the insertion of humor. This is a strategic moment in the relaxing of the crowd. This blonde decides one day that she is sick and tired of all the blonde jokes and how blondes are perceived as stupid. So she decides to show her husband that blondes are really smart. While her husband is off at work, she decides that she is going to paint a couple of rooms in the house. The next day, right after her husband leaves for work, she gets down to the task at hand. Her husband arrives home at 5:30 and detects the distinct smell of paint. He walks into the living room and finds his wife lying on the floor, huffing and puffing in a pool of sweat. He notices she is wearing a ski jacket and over the ski jacket, a heavy fur coat, both at the same time. He goes over and asks her if she's okay. She replies, yes. He asks, "What are you doing?" She replies that she wanted to prove to him that all blondes were not dumb, so she was going to paint the house. He then asks her why she has a ski jacket on and a fur coat, and she replies that she was reading the directions on the can of paint, and it said, "For best result, put on two coats." See, wasn't that laughter good for you? Rotten wood. Rotten wood. You know what I like? I like the fact that there's a thing called the Holy Spirit of God. I don't have one single person in mind as I preach today. My conscience is clear toward God. Not taking a pot shot at anybody. Say, then why do I feel the way I feel? Ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit of God. Rotten wood. Rotten wood, painted white. Whited sepulchers filled with dead men's bones. People that know better. They've been better. They've done better. They don't want to anymore. Rotten wood painted white self-destructs. Did you know that rotten wood painted white will deteriorate faster? Right. Hypocrites heap upon themselves the wrath of God. The Bible says in Job 36:13, but the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They heap up wrath. If you paint rotten wood white, you seal in the deterioration. It'll deteriorate from the inside out. Painting this wood does not fix the problem. It adds to the internal rotting. You see, if I didn't paint it, the dryness of the air could give this thing a chance to where it could dry out and it would last a little longer. You ever go and buy an old house and find out that somebody put paint over paint over paint over paint and rotten wood? All you have is that flimsy paint. It's rotten on the inside. Hypocrite, you're heaping the wrath of God upon you. It's dangerous. You're destroying yourself. You'll destroy your marriage that way. You'll destroy your children that way. There's some of you, if you're not careful, your hypocrisy will destroy your children's belief in the Bible. It's going to destroy your children's belief in the Word of God and the New Testament church and the man of God and the standards of God. Because they look at you and you're fake. When people are trying hard to live for God and they fail, God applies mercy. You hear that? When people are trying to live for God and they're sincere and they're not trying to be two-faced and they're not living a double lifestyle and they're trying hard. When you fail, God shows mercy. When people know better but just decide that they're not going to do it anymore, the wrath of God is applied. And even more so when they know that they're painting it white on the outside. That means they know it's wrong. Keep up the facade. Let me quickly go on. Rotten wood painted white is lying about what it really is. Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Are you lying to yourself? Are you lying to God? Are you lying to your family? Some of you that you almost reached some of your family, but now you've turned back and they know you're a fake. You will never reach that part of your family because of it. You're lying to your Sunday school class? Are you lying to your bus route? Are you lying to your own children? Are you lying to your pastor? Are you lying to your spiritual friends? And here's the bad thing. The Bible says here, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know what that means? It can get to the point where I'm not bothering you a bit this morning. You're just thinking, let's get out of here. Heard it before? We're going to hear it again? Your conscience is seared. Let me tell you something. There's hope for you if you're bothered. Right now, if you're bothered. And just so you all know, everybody here ought to be bothered. Yes, sir. Everybody!
Yes, sir. Right.
You ought to be bothered. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does when He convicts us of the truth. Are you so spiritually out of it you just don't care anymore? You have lived the double life so long. If you were forced to make a choice today, you'd stop painting white and you'd just go ahead and rot. You'd say, if you're going to make me make a choice, I pick the word. Well, you used to have at least enough respect for the things of God, you'd fake it. Now you've even lost that, haven't you? Let me finish by saying this. Being clean on the outside and unsaved on the inside will send you right to hell. Matthew 23:13 says, "Woe unto you hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves." There's that word hypocrites again. What's it talk about? Hey, have you lied to yourself about this thing called salvation? There's only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ, and that's it. You trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's not through good deeds. It's not through giving money. It's not through baptism. It's not through church membership. There had to have been a time in your life when you realized you were a sinner and that sinners deserve to go to hell. And Jesus Christ died and was buried and resurrected for sinners. You turned to Him. You asked Him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your heart and be your Savior. And you're not dependent on you. You're dependent on Him. And if you're depending on anything else, you got yourself somehow, you got yourself whitewashed on the inside, but you're lost. You got yourself whitewashed on the outside, but you're lost on the inside. Yeah, there are some people that think if I do enough good deeds, I can get to heaven. No, you'll just be the person with the most merit badges in hell. Because your good works will not save you. You are, if you're depending on anything other than trusting Christ as Savior, you are a whited sepulcher filled with death. You're dead on the inside. And you must be born again. Have you told us that you're saved, but you're not? I think sometimes that's where you get some of this. I believe once you're saved, you're always saved. I don't want to make anybody doubt that, but I do believe that you get a lot of this kind of hypocrisy where people paint themselves white on the outside and they're rotten on the inside because they have not trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You're trying very hard, and it might even be out of a certain amount of sincerity. You're trying really, really hard, but you fail, and you try, and you fail, and you try, and you fail. Spirituality starts on the inside and comes out. You don't work it from the outside in. That means you've got to have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God to open the Scripture, to give you the power of victory, and once you get saved, He can work His way out.
Yes, sir.
Now, there are some preachers that would say to people living like this, whited on the outside, rotten on the inside. I'm talking about born-again Christians. There's some preachers that would say, get out! And what I say, get right.
Amen.
We can even love the hypocrite.
Yes, sir.
There are pastors that stand up and say, get out, you hypocrite! No, I don't believe that. Get right.
Yes.
Get right! Get right before it's too late. Get right before you ruin yourself. I wish I had a paint scraper. I'd try to scrape a little bit off your eyes so you could see clearly what you're about to do to you, what you have been doing to yourself. And what about Jesus, the one that saved you? Doesn't He deserve better? If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to invite you to the Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. The question is, if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If there's somebody here that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. Maybe it is you've been in the church for years, but you say, but on the inside, I'm not born again, and I'm tired of faking it. I need to be born again. I need to take care of it. Maybe you've never heard the gospel before. Maybe today you come to Jesus and you say, that's what I want. I don't want to just be religious on the outside. I want Jesus on the inside. The question is, if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? You say, no, I don't know that. I need to be saved. Pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. Pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. You say, pray for me. I need to be born again. Pray for me. God bless you. I need to be born again. I just need to be saved. Maybe you've been around the things of God for years and you've painted some white on the outside. But have you asked Jesus Christ on the inside? Who else would say, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Those of you that raised your hand, in a moment, we'll have an altar call. When we do, we'll invite you to come. Leave your seat, walk down the front. The men that are sitting on the platform will be standing down front at the end of each aisle. Walk up to them and say, I want to be born again. And some of you Christians now, just think about it. Are you a hypocrite? I'm not going to call you one. I just preached the truth to you today. Have you been a hypocrite? I'm not going to look. I don't want to see. I think God wants to see, though. My head is bowed. My eyes are closed. I want every eye in the house closed. Who here would raise your hand to God and say, God, this morning you've convicted me. There's something going on that needs to be fixed on the inside of me. Would you raise your hand? I'm not looking. You put your hand up. Move it. Move your hand up. Now you put that hand down. If you raise your hand, you may need this altar. Don't get out. Don't run from the church. Run to God. Run to the altar. Let the sermon and the scripture of the sermon convict you before you mess your life up. If you're here today and you've been saved and we've never made it public, why don't you come? If you need to be baptized, you come. Somebody may need to rededicate your life. Somebody out there, you're lost and you just need to get saved. You say, but Brother Owens, everybody around here thinks I'm saved. Doesn't matter what everybody around here thinks. It matters what Jesus knows. He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And they were cast into everlasting fire for the devil and his angels. You better get saved if you're not born again. If you're not right with God, you better take care of that whited sepulcher and fix what's rotten on the inside. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, you sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you come. And don't worry about who comes to the altar. It's not your business. You worry about you. Do you need the altar? Do you need to leave that balcony and go down those stairs and come down here and get on your face before God? Does the word phony apply to you? Double lifestyle, does that apply to you? Fake? You know better, but you're doing it anyway. Rotten. On the inside. Pretty white and clean on the outside. Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Doesn't make you spiritual. Well, I've been in the church for a long time. Doesn't make you spiritual. Well, I give my tithe, that makes you spiritual. I come to church, that makes you spiritual. Those are things that spiritual people do. Doesn't mean it's you, though. If you're not saved, come. Let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. If you have been saved and you never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and never follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, and you'd like to join membership with the church, you may come. Somebody needs to rededicate their life before they destroy their life. Remember, it's not get out, it's get right, it's get in. Get real. Will you be perfect? No. No, you won't be perfect. But you stop living a lie. Keep singing, choir, one more time through the song, please. Not a sermon for me or you to judge each other. It is a sermon for you and God to meet and examine you. And choir, this will be the last time through the song. And we'll be free. Still nasty on the inside. Thank you, folks. You can have a seat there.